Good to see all of you here, and some of you I remember from the last time I was here a couple of years ago at the men's conference, and we are grateful indeed. You have your Bibles, you turn to the book of First Beginnings, the book that gives us the first mention of everything that we talk about in life. And if one rejects that book, they might as well just put the Bible aside and not turn to any other portion of the Bible, because Genesis is the seed plot to the entire Bible, as Graham Scroggie used to say of yesteryear. Genesis is the seed plot of the rest of the Bible. There are those who pick and choose what part of the Bible they want to use, as though it's a cafeteria, a buffet. But all the Bible is inspired, and we should read it as that. Amen? And it's okay. I think it's okay for you to say amen. If I say anything that sounds like truth, you can say amen. And I'll feel real at home when you do that. Amen. Amen. Don't want you to do like when I was at one place and the guy said, people just saying amen, 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 amen. And he's the pastor say, y'all gonna get rid of me. He said, and they say, amen. Now, I don't know whether they meant they're gonna get rid of him, or they were just in a custom of saying amen, whatever the case may be. In Genesis chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 5, as I talk with the Lord and just the Lord, what we'll share, I've been sharing personalities at the church on Wednesday night. We've been walked through Jabez, walked through different other people from the Bible, lessons we can learn from them that will impact and really encourage our life and charge us to be all that God wants us to be. Amen? So, we want to look at Genesis chapter 5 and starting at verse 21, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he became the father of Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Father, speak now to our listening hearts, and cause us not only to hear, but to adhere to your precious word. The entrance of your word giveth light, and we are grateful for your word and what it does in our lives. Mold us and shape us, transform us to be all that you want us to be. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to just, for a few moments, just to encourage you, as I encourage myself, and I have to do that a lot in ministry, you have better encourage yourself. I appreciate that kind introduction, because a lot of people do measure your success by the number of people that follow you. If that was really the case, Jesus not would have been one of the most popular persons in the world, because he had really seriously 12 disciples who really followed him. There were others who were at a distance, but I'm talking about those who really were in the trenches with him were those disciples. But we have to encourage ourselves. But when you look at personalities from the Bible, when you look at them and what can I glean from them? Enoch is one of those personalities that's interesting, because here's a man who at the age of 65, he began to walk with God. After his son was born, he walked with God. I was looking at a commercial this morning, and a commercial said, this guy was getting ready to have a wife, was getting ready to have a child, so he said, I'm going to stop smoking. He put on the dermal, the patch to put on his arm to say he's going to stop smoking, because he has to make sure he positively impact his child. Children have a tendency to do that to us. Amen. Children can help us make a change in our lives for the better. And if children are not doing that, there's something wrong with us, because we have to impact the next generation of people, and it starts with children. So in the midst of the impending confusion, in the midst of the impending confusion that the world was about to engage in, and where it was engaging in was really escalating. It was so confused, my mentor, Dr. T. Michael Flowers of Atlanta, Georgia, who's gone home to be with the Lord now, says that people were so confused, they spell confused with the K. Now, all of you know that confusion spelled with the C, amen? But they spelled confusion with the K. It was utter godlessness. People were having good times. They were making life and eating, drinking, and being married, and doing all kinds of things. But yet they were most wicked. People were drinking and fussing and cussing and really abusing each other. Yet in the midst of such a godless society, God finds a man in the man of Enoch. The first thing the Bible says that Enoch, after his child was born, he walked with God. He walked with God. He had a fellowship with God. He, in the Bible, that has reference to faith in God in the Bible, and believing him and following him and having allegiance to him. And God's looking for people to walk with him. Amen. And we need to encourage people to walk with him. In our tradition, in church tradition, we heard a song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Granted, Jesus, if you please, daily walking close to thee, let me walk. Dear Lord, let it be, let it be. Justin, how many of you remember that song? All right. Amen. The older we get, you know, they got new songs now, and some of them are remixes of the old ones, but those old songs never go, they never die. Just a closer walk with him. And all of us, and I know at this church where the word of God is faithfully preached, the word of God is faithfully taught, the word of God is faithfully lived out, you have a desire, just like I have, to walk with him closer. Amen. But that doesn't come by osmosis. We can say we want it, but it has to be something we do to make sure that happened. Amen. In the song, I'm taking you back some, "I Come to the Garden Alone." You remember that song, "In the Garden"? And I was at a conference one time, the old lady said, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." And the voice was going, "But the joy we share as we journey there, none other has ever known." Sing it, mama, sing it. Because she was a person who walked with the Lord. And a little kid in the audience said, and he asked the question, "Who is Andy?" Get it? Okay. Who's Andy? It's "And he walked with me." Amen. But that's okay. We understand what it's all about. Amen. I love it. Walking with him. Walking with him. Amos said, "How can two people walk together unless they agree?" Amos 3:3. Walking with him, you have to be on the same page with the Lord. And you have to have the agenda that God has to walk with him. We can't come up with our own agenda. We have to have the agenda that God has. He had a vertical connectivity with the God of the Bible, like Adam had, when he enjoyed God walking in the cool of the evening and fellowshipping with him. He had that until Adam blew it. He understood what it meant to walk in fellowship with God. He had a vertical connectivity with the God of the Bible, like Abel had before Cain listened to the voice of the enemy to slay his brother, because his brother chose to have fellowship on God's turn. We're living in a world where we want to have everything on our own term. We want to reinvent the wheel. We want to do it our way. Some would even borrow the words of Frank Sinatra, "I did it." You were supposed to answer that. "I did it. And y'all know that. Come on. Even if you don't listen to it, you heard it in the stores or somewhere. I mean, you heard it somewhere. I did it. You're warming up. I did it. Almost. I did it. Amen. We can't do it our way and still walk in fellowship with God. We have to do it His way because He is the sovereign boss of the universe. He does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants. He never has to ask any of us anything. Aren't you glad of that? God doesn't have to listen to this side of the political spectrum, that side of the political spectrum. God does what He wants. He is in charge. Amen? He is not omnipotent. He has all power. His creative and resurrection power, He has everything at His own disposal. He is His own counsel. And we have to follow it according to God's way. Enoch had a turning point. How many of you remember when you first got saved? So I've been saved so long, I don't even remember. No, that's good. But do you still remember a time when you connected with God in such a way that, man, you wouldn't change it for nothing in the world. Enoch had a turning point. And we all should have a turning point in our lives. And if you haven't had one, one day will come when you will have a turning point in your life where you recognize that you cannot make it without God. There are crazy people out there who think that they can get it all together. They got all the money. They got wisdom. They got talents. They got personality. They got a popularity, got pedigree, they have all these things, but life will happen one day that will require them to know that I know that I know that I know that I have Jesus Christ in my life. And they have to have a turning point of connectivity. Some may be here today who have had that turning point, but you're not as close to Him as you used to be. Because we all challenged to draw closer and closer. And Paul said that I may know Him. I mean, really experientially know Him a deeper way than I do now. It requires really putting away some things and putting on some new things. Amen? A turning point. We have to acknowledge if you have never had a turning point, I will pause this moment and tell you you can have that today by acknowledging that you are a sinner because God declares that all men are sinners. All have sinned, all. All means all, and that's all has ever mean was all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All men are sinners. All men have missed the mark. It's an honor to return there, come short of the glory of God. Missed the mark. The bullseye have missed the mark, and the mark He sets the standard. And believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the only solution to your sinful problem, not your image. There are people who think their image. They're intellectually astute, so they think they can make it through life. There are people who are morally straight and do the moral thing, and they think that's going to get them into the Christian life. That's not. They're involved with activity, 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 activity. You can't beat them in being involved, and they think that is the equivalent of being saved. Some of you feel guilty, but that does not is the equivalent of being saved because they have scripture that shows that all those people in all those different areas show that they still didn't measure up when it came to being saved. And then some people attend an event, awesome event, like a gospel concert, hear the evangelist preach, and they think that is the equivalent of being saved, but it's not. You must believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Believe that He came, He died, He was buried, He rose again on the third day, and He's the only solution to our sinful problem. Amen. In my tradition, Andre Crouch said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And He is. Amen. And the world just needs to understand that you cannot make it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Then see, you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe not intellectually only. There is an intellectual part. And it takes a whole lot of faith to believe that God's grace can cover all that mess that I have in my life. And He can. Amen. Have you a witness today that He covered your sins? Well, you better say something to me. Amen. Amen. He covered my sins. He took care. He washed me from the old and gave me a new desire to serve him and walk with him. Amen. And the Bible said, therefore, by one man sin in this world, death by sin, death passed upon all men. And there is no difference. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. But God committed his love towards us. And if while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And once people understand these principal truths from the Word of God that kind of give us some total what the gospel is all about, they can have a vertical reconnectivity with God that no man can break, not even Satan himself. All the people ought to have been shouting down their aisles over that one. Even if you don't shout. Amen. Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad of that, aren't you? For Christians, as we have fellowship with God, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, that which I have seen and heard and declare unto you and deliver also that may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son of Christ. And these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. Then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, it says we lie and do not the truth, excuse me. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship not only on a vertical plane, but we have it on a horizontal plane. We have fellowship with one another. Walking with him in Christ and I being connect with him, as a man asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And he said, oh, I got that. I can handle that one. And he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. And we have to have that vertical connectivity and that horizontal connectivity. Make sure that we are getting along with one another. And all men will know that we are his disciples if we, you know, I'm going to ask you to respond. If we love one another, and oh, how they love one another. Amen. And that's what people ought to say about Christians. The second thing you look about Enoch is that the Bible says that his ways were pleasing unto God. If you flip over in your mind, I'll read it, but in the Hallmark chapter of Fame of Faith Saints, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he did not see death and was not found because God has translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony. Thank you, please, God. When our ways please God, all that we aim to do, everything we should ever aspire to do, say, Lord, is this pleasing unto you? It'll stop us from doing a whole lot of things that we would do. Guess what? It'll stop us from saying a whole lot of things that we would have said. If it's not going to be pleasing unto the Lord, and we know whether it's pleasing or not, we know when we, you ever say, oops, I shouldn't have what? Said that. I shouldn't have watched that. I shouldn't have gone there. We know that our ways are pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. We do. And we, Enoch had a testimony. I can't think of a greater testimony. And I tell you, in living this Christian life, having always been all that I need to be in the Lord, but when I got serious with him, it has been my desire just to serve him and to make him pleased by everything that I say and do. It's my desire to live for him. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he make even his enemies be at peace with him. Because when our ways are pleasing, God has your. All right, y'all hear me? On your other side. Get back. God has your back. Amen. He has your back. God said, I will vouch for you. And I see him fight battles that I couldn't fight for myself. Had to step aside and let him fight the battle. So, Lord, I want to please you because I want to act up. Hello. Y'all don't know about that. Act up me. I want to react to it. I want to respond. I want to get back. I want to get revenge. Oh, you don't have that problem? Okay, good. Glad you don't. And we all have to fight that, because there are those times in our experience where we want to respond, and it may not be in the most pleasing way unto the Lord. Remember, James said the anger of man does not please the right, does not please God in the way he does things. We have to do it his way to please him. He was a man who pleased God. Listen what Isaiah 5 says. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And we're living in a world that's all twisted. This world is jacked up. It really is. I kind of use that expression. It's okay. It's too late. I've already used it, right? This world is messed up. We have turned everything upside down. Things that we know is obviously wrong, we call it right. But God looking for a person who will stand in the midst of all this chaos and all this confusion. So confused, he's spelling with a K. He looking for someone to stand and say, "I want to be in ways that please God. Because I know," as Jim Elliot would say, "he who is no fool who fight for a cause that will ultimately succeed versus a cause that will ultimately fail." Amen. When we do it right, we may not always get the kind of results that we want. Ask Joseph. He walked with God. He pleasing to God. And yet he was put in jail. Peter and all the disciples, and many of them died a martyr's death because they aimed to please God. They'd rather obey God than obey man. Acts chapter 4:29. So, children, we are to, the Bible says to you young people who are here, one of the ways you can guarantee to please God is, the Bible says in Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing unto God." Hello? Anybody here? The children who are not here, remind them of that passage. And when we pour the word of God into pleasing God, it should be the ultimate thing you want to do. And one of the things you can do is please and obey your parents. "Well, I don't like what they tell me to do." Do it anyway. Because your parents have your best interest at heart. Amen. Because at the end of the day, when anything happens, when all life seems to fall apart for you, the person who's going to be there is mommy and daddy. A few folk may come along, but mommy and daddy is sure enough going to be there for you. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing unto God. And then my little grandson was going to school with me, and I teach at a preschool, and he didn't want to wear a particular coat his mother wanted him to wear. And I said, "Benjamin, remember what God said." See, when you put it on God, God's shoulders can handle it. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Because it's not on you. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing unto God." And it's not on me when I tell them that. It's on God. God will handle that. So, he didn't say, "Yes, sir, Grandpa, I'll do it." He was still adamant about having his way. He told he wanted to cry and do all of his reaction things. But nonetheless, children, the Bible says, it is a proper and just thing. It is a right thing to do when you're pleasing God. Amen. When our Heavenly Father want all of his children, older children, to please God. Here's a poem that I like, and it speaks so much to, I think it speaks especially to young people. And I like to address young people when I'm in the audience. It's called "My Character Guide," in terms of pleasing God. "My character you cannot see is what I am inside of me. The way I act, my manners too, help people judge the things I do. I'll study as I should at school and try to follow every rule. And when I'm home, I'll do each chore before I am told and help some more." Did y'all hear that? "Before I am told and help some more." Let me say that again. "Before I am told and help some more." Y'all don't find that funny. Okay, that's okay. "I'll help my parents every day and friends and neighbors in some way. I'll tell the truth and be polite and try my best to do what's right." That's a befitting poem. It's almost like a mantra that one can say to themselves, that I'm going to aim to always do that which is right. We miss the mark sometimes. We don't always do it, but that should be our desire. Amen? His ways were pleasing to God. Ways. And the third thing you sign about this incredible character of Enoch, he was a man who witnessed for God. See, we witness demonstratively in our demonstration of our lives, and we witness verbally as the opportunity affords itself. And we must be good witnesses, but before you can be a good witness, know that you must first of all have a walk with God, and then your ways should be pleasing to God, because whatever you say, it needs to be validated by how you live. In Jude 14, it says that Enoch was also one of the seventh from the prophesy of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince that all that are ungodly, and so many times, about four different times, ungodly is mentioned in that Jude passage. And he witnessed, and we get this literature from other parts of literature, not from actually the Bible, but as God put it there. For us to remind ourselves that we ought to be his witnesses, even in a crooked and perverse generation. Isn't that what Paul said to the Ephesians, to the Philippian people? You walk as lights, you shine as lights in a crooked and a perverse generation. You shine as lights. He calls us to shine as lights and witness. Amen. Witness. We must always strive to be biblically correct and not politically correct. Because what the Bible says, we must stand on. We don't need to fool around with it. Just call it what it is. Because God can take care of his own business. Amen? Hello? Are you there? Amen? Every September, children, young people are meeting around the poles. They're meeting around the flagpoles in a certain part, the latter part of September. And showing their allegiance to that they are not ashamed to be a Christian. I applaud them for doing that. Because too many will not even engage in the conversation. Are you? We at the dining room table. I don't mean to get up on the platform and say, well, dear God, thank you for this food and bless everybody. No, that's not what we're talking about. But you cannot be ashamed to bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to receive. And young people standing around the pole indicating and signifying that they have an allegiance to God, because everybody got an allegiance to all kind of crazy stuff. They got flags with all kind of flags they're holding up, all kind of waivers they're holding up, showing that they are allegiance to this stuff. And as we witness, we have a demonstration, even sometimes with a silent witness, just wearing a bumper, wearing a badge, or wearing a tag, or wearing a shirt that says that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you're not ashamed of it. Amen? There are people who've gone so far, they got tattoos all over them. I don't like that kind of pain that takes to get all that stuff, so I wouldn't do that, okay? Amen. But they're declaring their faith. Last Thursday, they had take your Bible to school. Let me hear that. Take your Bible to school. Where you could take your Bible and you could read it in your break time. And you don't need a day for that. You can always do that. On your break, you can take your Bible and read a portion of the Word of God. And I'm talking to young people. God is Not Dead, 1 and 2, movie. That young people are declaring their faith and standing up against bullies against the Christian faith. Not ashamed of their faith. And Enoch wasn't ashamed. He proclaimed. He lived, first of all, and he wasn't ashamed to declare the gospel. You can buy mugs that says, Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. My medical doctor, he's retired now, Dr. James Carter, great man of God. He loved the Word of God. He loved how he mixed the Bible and his medical practice together. But he always wore on his lapel a button that says, Jesus loves you. On his white jacket, he wore that. Jesus loves you. have members of the church on their answering machine. They give out the gospel plan as if you be so and so. And if you haven't asked Jesus of Christ to come into your life to be your personal savior, I invite you, encourage you to do that today. So many creative ways we can do it. Amen. I've seen a lot of young people who use the Facebook to promote the gospel. Do it with that cause. I've seen a lot of other crazy stuff out there too. But do it with a cause that will ultimately succeed. Amen. Because one of the things that America needs today is that the people need to get saved. People do what they do because they're sinners. That's as Hank Hindegraff said, that's their job description. They just can't have their job description. And you and I did the same thing. We did our own little stuff in our own little way, in our own little epic of time that went on that was not pleasing to God. But when we got saved, we had a new attitude. Amen. Hello. He witnessed for God. And I want to encourage you to get on a witnessing campaign for God. Amen. Andre Crouch again said, take me back to the place where I first received you, Lord. When I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. You ever been to a restaurant and you really enjoyed the service? You can raise your hand, it's okay. And you go and tell somebody about that restaurant. And nobody, they didn't even have to give you, say, will you advertise this for me? I advertise Sprint all the time, and I tell people that that's the best phone in the world, Sprint. I have a lot of people who say, you're crazy. But in my mind, it's one of the great phones, and that's okay. And they don't pay me to do that. But if ever my phone get broken or something, it needs a repair, and I go in there and say, I've been with you for so many years. So I shouldn't have all these kind of problems because I promote your phone all the time. And say, oh, yes, sir. Come on, come on. What you need done to it? Why? Because they don't want to stop that free advertisement. And we can give advertisements for Jesus demonstratively in our demonstration, but more importantly, verbally, to articulate why we believe what we believe. Amen. God need a church that would do that. And your church is on the cutting edge of doing it. Amen. One of the books of the month is how to give away your faith and how to share your faith. Beautiful. And The Home, beautiful, by Jay Adams. Great books to encourage us to be all that we can be. And the fourth and the last is the whirlwind to heaven without dying. The whirlwind to heaven. Shoo, up, disappeared. Went to heaven without dying. Ain't that awesome? Let me try it again. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, he had fellowship with God so long. For 300 years, God said, well, as Henry and Mary said, God just said, you fellowship with me so long, let's just go on to heaven. Go on to heaven. He had a whirlwind to heaven like Enoch, like Elijah had. Elijah had the same thing. Elijah, he's the only two in the scripture that had a whirlwind to heaven without dying. 2 Kings 2:11. He went to heaven without dying. Something that kept on repeating in Genesis chapter 5. This man lived and he died. Some 8 times. This man lived and died. 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 Got to Enoch, said he was not. Amen. Story is told of a person who was at a cemetery, and they said, there he lies in peace. And the person kind of glad the person was gone. They said, there he lies in peace, and so am I. Well, you don't know what kind of rocky experience they had on earth. It was peaceful for that person to be gone. But we know the joy of death. Amen. Death is an unavoidable appointment. We're going to have, and all of us are going to face it unless Jesus Christ come back. Amen? Death is, and it comes unexpectedly. And those who know Christ, and I've been to funerals, I've been to bedsides when people are dying. No greater thing to be at a site and be at a bed when a saint is dying. You can see the glory of the Lord on their face, and you can just know that they are at peace with themselves. But one day, Jesus Christ is coming back. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? I say like the John says, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But he has his own timetable. irrespective of all that's going on around us, he is coming back again. And it gives us a preview of coming attractions of the blessed hope of the rapture. Enoch's life gives us a preview of a coming attraction. I like that. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed, listen for the blessed hope." That's the believers. We got a hope for dying and a hope for living. But I'm looking for the blessed hope. Amen. And Jesus Christ is coming again. And glorious appearing and great God and the Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us for all iniquity and purify us himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We're looking for the blessed hope, the world when one day he will come back and take us home, or we may die before then. But the blessed thing is we shall behold him in all of his glory. John tells us, "Beloved, it does not yet appear what we will be, but he shall appear, we shall be just like him. He said, every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure." 1 John 3:1-3. And I like that. Amen. Old chorus, we used to say, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Had a brother in my church who was a deacon, chairman of the deacon board, and he had cancer and he wrestled and struggled with it, but he rejoiced. He was a cool, calm, collected person. But one day, the word of God was being preached. One day, the word of God was being heralded and talking about the goodness of the Lord, and one day of heaven, this well-refined man who doesn't do much other than say amen, jumped out of his feet and said, "Hallelujah!" Because he understood what it was all about. Amen. He understood what it's all about, that one day Jesus Christ is coming again. The question is, are you ready to meet him? What, my friend, if he should come today? Coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Oh, what a wonderful day it would be. Jesus Christ is coming again. So we need to be like Enoch in the age in which the world says, be quiet Christians. We need to be Christians who will walk with God. We need to be Christians whose ways will be pleasing to God. We need to be Christians who will show by our lifestyle that we have a testimony to tell to the nation. Tell that Jesus Christ is all who he says he is. We walk with him and talk with him and be pleasing to him. His ways are pleasing to him. And then one day we will go to meet him. Amen. And I want to meet him. Amen. I want to see him in all of his glory. Amen. And that's going to happen one day. But until he comes, we are to work and be faithful, not sit around and twiddle our thumbs and wait for the kingdom. But we ought to be zealously working for the cause of Christ. Because the more people we win to Christ, as GRBC has a campaign going that they want to start more churches, and they want to start New Testament churches where people can get to know Christ as Savior. There's a prayer campaign going on across America, and we're praying God will open hearts of people to start churches in areas where the New Testament church is not established, where the Word of God will be preached and people come to know Christ and say, because that's the only thing that's going to stem the tide of all that we see around us, that people get saved and get serious and get freshly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your gracious people. We thank you for the fellowship of this group. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for each one who are here today. And Lord, may we take the words and make it speak volumes to our hearts and lives and help us to be all that you want us to be. People who will walk with you. People whose ways will be pleasing to you. People who will witness for you. And one day we'll experience a whirlwind, whether it be in death or whether it be in your coming back again. As 1 Thessalonians tell us, you will come. Amen. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.